My dearly beloved in Christ, it behooves the priest to give at least a brief instruction during the beautiful ceremonies and Mass of Holy Thursday. And it is difficult because there are so many things that we call to mind, so many events that we commemorate on this holy night. There are five principal mysteries to reflect upon briefly. First, we have the institution of the Holy Eucharist. We also have the institution of the Mass and of the priesthood. We have the command to love one another as Christ has loved us. And finally, we have the mystery of the agony in the garden of our Lord, in which he had to come to the apostles and ask them, could you not watch 1 hour with me? So these five events then, we will briefly call to mind. The institution of the Holy Eucharist is so important that Holy Mother Church has set aside a second day, a second feast, to commemorate this wonderful sacrament. And of course, that is the Feast of Corpus Christi, where we have an outdoor procession and a mass honoring the institution of the Holy Eucharist. It is inconceivable. No one would have guessed, no one would have thought that our Lord, who loved us so much, would have gone to such a length as to give us his own body and blood for our spiritual food, our spiritual nourishment. And yet he did just that. But we also read the words of St. Paul in today's epistle to the Corinthians, warning that if anyone eats of this bread or drinks of this cup unworthily, he is guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. And those words of St. Paul are beyond our Lord's own words. Those are a certain proof of what we call the real presence, transubstantiation, that our Lord is truly present in the Holy Eucharist, body, blood, soul, and divinity. For why would St. Paul said if that anyone eats or drinks unworthily, he is guilty of the body and of the blood of our Lord, if it were not, if it were merely a symbol, as Protestants say, of his body and blood? But we as Catholics know, we have the faith that even though we cannot see our Lord's body and blood, we know that he is present, truly, in the Blessed Sacrament. He said so. This is my body, this is my blood. And so we have this faith in what we cannot see, but we accept by faith. Now, in this wonderful sacrament, we are nourished spiritually. But again, call to mind those words of St. Paul. What a terrible thing if someone were to eat and drink unworthily. We do not know if Judas left the supper room before the institution of the Holy Eucharist or after. That is not clear from the Gospels. Some scriptural writers and commentators believe that he did make an unworthy communion, having already determined to betray our Lord. And others think that he left beforehand. At any rate, one shudders to think of the evil deed, the sacrilege of an unworthy communion. Let us not only be grateful for this sacrament, but prove it by always preparing as devoutly as we can and never receiving our Lord unworthily. We also call to mind the institution of the Holy Sacrament, sacrifice of the Mass, because the Last Supper was the first Mass that was offered. And in the Mass, the priest changes the bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. How grateful we must be for the Mass, which is the renewal of our Lord's sacrifice on the cross, calls to mind his passion and death, and also calls to mind that wonderful gift at the Last Supper of our Lord's own body and blood. And we also have tonight the institution of the priesthood. The priesthood and the Mass and the Holy Eucharist all go together. Without the priesthood, there would be no Holy Eucharist, and there would be no Holy Mass. And without the Holy Eucharist, there would be no priesthood. There would be no purpose. Were there no Holy Eucharist and no Mass, there would be no purpose for the priesthood. And if there is any day in the course of the entire year that could properly be called the closest, at least, that we have to a feast day of the priesthood, it is Holy Thursday. So let us on this night remember the importance of praying for priests. Pray for priests that they will sanctify themselves, that they will become holy priests, become more and more holy, more and more like Christ, whom they are to represent to the laity. And pray for more vocations. Pray for those in formation, that they will cooperate with the graces to prepare well for this most holy sacrament and office of the priesthood in the church. So we call to mind the institution of the Holy Eucharist, the Mass, and the priesthood. But we also have in the Gospel the story of our Lord washing the feet of his disciples, how he humbles himself, how he kneels at their feet, he who is their Lord and Master, and washes their feet. And then our Lord said, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you." And the word in Latin for commandment is mandatum. Mandatum novum do vobis, ut diligatis invicem. This is why in your missals you might see it listed as Maundy Thursday. The word Maundy being a derivative of mandatum, the Thursday of the commandment, to love one another. And our Lord called it a new commandment, because even though in the Old Testament we find these words, to love your neighbor, it was never understood, at least not in the way our Lord taught it. And he even said to love your enemies and to forgive all. And how hard it is to do that. We know that the early Christians fully understood this lesson of our Lord and put it into practice. And our wonderful models, as we read in the Acts of the Apostles, how they loved one another so much that the pagans would say, "Look how they love one another. See how they love one another." We also must strive to so live that we can be known for our charity. And remember the old saying that charity begins at home. Brothers and sisters, members of the same family, practicing charity in the home. For how can we practice it out of the home if it does not begin at home? Remember that charity includes forgiveness. It's easy to love those who are good and kind to us, but we must also love those who offend us, who have injured us in any way. And that is not easy to do. But we look at the example of our Lord and we draw strength from his example. Actions speak louder than words. So our Lord not only taught charity, he gave that example by kneeling at the feet of his disciples and washing their feet. The same disciples whom he knew would flee and abandon him that very night. And that is why after the translation of the Blessed Sacrament to the altar of repose, we have the stripping of the altar, which signifies the abandonment of our Lord, the altar being a symbol of Christ, his abandonment by the apostles whom he loved, whom he had favored so much. They all left him. And yet, knowing that would happen, he still washed their feet and showed that humility and that charity to drive home to us this lesson of love for one another. Love one another, he said, as I have loved you. We look at the example, the lives of the saints, because the saints took what Christ taught and they lived it. And they're closer to us. They're human. Jesus is divine. But we can look at the saints, and what is amazing is that the saints not only practiced charity towards all, but they especially practiced charity towards those who had offended them or injured them in some way. St. Teresa of Avila says, "I rejoice whenever someone speaks against me, does something to wound me, because then I have a chance to really practice charity when I can forgive from my heart those who have offended me, and treat them with charity. Let us all examine our conscience tonight, especially on how you practice charity in the home, with your spouse, your children, your father, mother, brothers, sisters, or house guests. How do we practice charity with those with whom we live? And that's a real testament to whether we have the charity that Christ taught or not. So remember that mandatum, the new commandment, to love one another as he has loved us in word, and now we see tonight even in deed. Finally, the fifth and final event or mystery to commemorate tonight, our Lord's agony in the garden, the arrest, the betrayal by Judas, the terrible events that took place after the Last Supper, how our Lord sweat blood, how he fell into an agony because he knew what he was going to suffer. And God the Father permitted that his human nature should feel the full weight of the coming pains and sufferings and humiliations of his passion. So to speak, his divinity receded, we might say, to allow the human nature to feel and to be crushed by the weight of all the sins of mankind that he took on his shoulders and all that he suffered. And yet, with all of that, that terrible agony where he prayed, "Father, if it be possible, let this chalice pass from me. Yet not my will, but thine be done." He came back to the apostles, the three chosen apostles, looking for a little comfort. Because after all, he had told them, "Watch with me," to pray and watch with him. And he found them asleep. And how that must have wounded his heart. We see it in his words, "Could you not watch 1 hour with me?" And that is why we have the practice of what is called the holy hour. It is in honor of those words of our Lord on Holy Thursday night, to watch with him. And that is why, ideally, when you make nocturnal hours of adoration in your home, that it should be at nighttime, at least late in the evening, to think of our Lord's agony in the garden and offer your holy hour in commemoration of his agony and in sympathy and comfort of our Lord, as though you want to be there in place of those apostles who fell asleep, and you want to be there to stay awake and to comfort our Lord. And it is very comforting to me to see that so many in the parish have signed up for a day of the month on which to perform that duty of making a holy hour. It is an indulgenced practice, and it is something that our Lord asked for. Really, if you think about it, it's the only thing he ever asked of us, to watch 1 hour with him, to make the holy hour. Let us adore our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, spend time with him, but also to make that holy hour at least once a month, to comfort our Lord in his agony and prove our love and gratitude for all the wonderful things he has given to us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.